Hello, welcome to Cracking the Spine, episode 7x9.
Whoa, right out of the gate with the number
Damn.
Two.
I thought about it beforehand. Damn. I'm Josh, I'm the new host.
I'm Zane.
I'm Sean, I'm the new Josh.
How did you guys freak this week?
Don't you do a really good Sean impression?
I don't know how to do it. Don't put me on the spot right now.
Oh, okay.
You
do
an impression of me?
He's
Have
done
I heard
it before,
it?
Yeah.
I did it before. It's on one of
it's
the
like
episodes.
It's really spot on.
Damn. Dude, I'm supposed to tell him that.
He was sitting there.
He doesn't remember. He's old.
What episode was it, Zane? Look in your notes.
I probably did not write that down.
What's the point of keeping notes if it's not about me?
I don't know. Right? I don't know.
Damn.
I know.
What's that goes in my journal.
Your slam book.
My dream journal.
But to answer your question, Josh.
Yes.
I finished reading Thirst by Benjamin Warner. Couldn't remember last week what his name
was,
but it was
Benjamin
Warner. You were right about that. Spot on, Zane. That was the story about, it just came out last week. It's out. You can go buy it. And actually, I would recommend it.
Can you spoil it?
I can spoil a little bit of it. It's, I can just tell you what's on, like, the flyleaf, you know, like, the information they give you.
The greatest band of all time, Flyleaf.
Is that a band?
Is that a band?
You said it.
Soulfly. I'm thinking of Soulfly.
All right, cool.
What's it about?
It's a, it's a post-apocalyptic kind of thing, but it's not, like, the end of the world, necessarily. A guy's coming home from work, and there's a big traffic jam,
yeah.
And he gets out to walk home eventually and, like, discovers that all the water has dried up, like, all the naturally occurring water, so you're stuck with whatever liquids you have.
That sucks.
And it's really cool because I'm used to reading post-apocalyptic literature that is set from the point of view of somebody who discovers that the world, like, is ending or is coming to an end.
Yeah.
And then sets out on the road and travels a great distance, like The Stand
or The Road.
Right.
Or The Road.
Yeah.
This one is much more insular. Like, in those stories, the protagonist always goes by a place where, like, the people are staying in their houses,
right,
and, like, waiting it out. This is the story of a guy who stays and waits it out.
That's cool.
And it's really anxiety-inducing.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, dude. Like,
I don't need that.
Some of the descriptions of, like the hallucinations as he's, like, you know, being racked with thirst.
Yeah.
Really good story. Really good story. So then I started...
Oh, here we go. Overachieving right away. Great. Making everyone look like shit.
I do this every week.
Yeah,
every
I know. Week. And I'm sick of it.
Finish a book and I start a book. Wow. I started a book called Sully Beach.
Ooh.
And the Dying Light, which is the book that Dr. Bill sent me. Remember I said a couple weeks ago that I got, like, a bunch of new books?
Yeah, I remember you said you got a bunch of books.
Yeah, okay, good. Then you remember.
I remember that.
Zane remembers.
I asked you both.
Zane and I both remember how you got a bunch of books, yes.
Yeah, okay, that's what I'm... And the listeners probably remember how all the books come to me, because
right,
I'm the best.
Right.
Book
yep.
man.
Yep.
They probably remember that.
Yep.
Faux show.
Well, now.
So, it's like a fantasy kind of story, and
okay,
it's about a little girl who gets possessed by a demon that a really fat lady puts into her.
Okay. Like the lady from House, not the show, the movie.
More like the picture I had in my head reading it was What's Eating Gilbert Grape.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, but like she also has like maggots festering under her skin.
That's pretty
and,
cool.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, right.
So it's...
No, it's just gross.
I disagree, Zane.
But it's really good. I don't want to sound surprised, but like...
Yeah.
The author, her name is Gypsy Harrington.
She's a real gypsy.
Gypsy Harrington.
She performs in comedy sports.
Okay.
In Portland, Oregon. I don't
oh,
know
if, yeah, you told me
actually,
about some of your friends from them.
I don't know if I've mentioned on the show before that I do improv comedy with a group called Comedy Sports. But
they
if
know.
I haven't, then, yeah, okay.
No, I don't think you have. I don't think so.
Well, I do. And there's a group in Portland, and she's like one of the members, and it's her first novel. And it's really good. It reminds me a lot of The Name of the Wind by Patrick Rothfuss. Like,
okay,
it's got
yeah.
like very, like... fantasy, but still kind of...
I like that.
Like, not high fantasy, or at least it hasn't gotten to high fantasy yet.
Yeah.
So, that's me.
But you think it's going to go that way?
It's hard to tell.
Okay.
She just left her little village and is going to a big city, and I feel like there could be stuff in the big city that...
There might be some, like, oh my god, yeah, what's that stuff over there? It's a flying unicorn with the laser beams shooting out of it.
Yeah, like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like high fantasy.
Yeah.
With the laser beams.
Okay.
That's...
Definitely, it's high fantasy.
Yeah.
Zane, what are you reading?
I finished that book what was it called? Don't You Cry.
Right.
By Guns N' Roses.
There it is.
By Guns N' Roses. And it was really good. My favorite part was Slash.
Duh.
You know, the end.
Duh. The end.
No, was it? I mean...
It was good. I liked it. It was like, I don't know that I would have picked it off the shelf myself. But it was
you would have had somebody else get it.
This doesn't sound like a recommendation, but like it was. It was there. So I read it, you know, and, like, and I'm glad that I did.
Yeah. On the quote, it was there.
No, because otherwise, like, I wouldn't, like, based on the description on the back of the book and, like, the cover and everything, I would have been like, no.
I think I was
really skeptical when you gave it to me.
I think I ended up giving it to you because I promised you a book and then you came in to do the show and I was like, oh, right, I better go quick find a book for Zane.
Pull that one off. But that's what I mean, like, it's not the kind of book that I would normally pick up, but I liked it. It was enjoyable. I mean, it wasn't like...
I needed to look around to find out. What was the name of the book? What's the name of it?
Don't You Cry.
You had to look around and figure out what you were going to say. Oh, Zane, I have a book for you. It's called... And then you saw the Guns N' Roses album. And he said, Don't You Cry.
And then he quick wrote the book. He had to write
the book, yeah.
Yeah, and then he got it published and all printed.
In 22 minutes of the episode.
Yeah. I wish. That'd be awesome.
Really
that would be good.
But I'm curious. Josh said that he was reading the other night.
We were texting each other, and like there was this long gap from Josh, and he wrote back and was like, I was reading.
I'm like 30 pages away from finishing the Klosterman book. I was going to bring it to you tonight.
Is that what you were reading?
Yeah.
Why are you bringing it to me? It's yours.
Oh, you gave it to me?
I don't want that back.
Oh, sweet.
Hey, dude, I gave up on that book.
Hell yeah, thanks, man.
Hey, you're welcome.
Yeah, I'm really liking it. Like,
Merry Christmas.
thank you. So I'm like 30 or 40 pages away. I was going to finish it tonight, but I was doing another podcast, and I said I would say their names. I was doing the sidecast, Mel Gray,
She
does a show, too, which I have known about for a couple years now.
What's it called? The sidecast?
The sidecast.
That's awesome.
Shout out to the sidecast. What up, sidecast?
So it was real fun, and thank you for having me on. So that's what I was doing.
What's the show? If we're going to plug it, let's plug it.
It's like... Four people that get around and talk about whatever. It's just a tangent-y podcast.
Huh.
Doesn't really have a... I made it way worse.
Oh, we should try to go off on tangents.
Yeah, we should.
On this podcast.
Do you guys like Police Academy?
It doesn't seem like our style.
I've never seen it.
You know, like, we have, like, a brand.
We could talk Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, no.
Damn fine comedy, that one.
Oh, my God.
Some people would say it's the greatest movie ever made.
Some people would misquote that, yes.
Some people would definitely have said that in all seriousness in their life in 2011.
Yep, that's probably something that someone never said, but has been attributed to Sean a lot.
Someone definitely said that, and at least two other people heard it. And remember
possibly,
it very well.
That person may possibly have called it the best comedy of the 80s.
That person definitely said...
I think what was actually said was that it was your favorite movie.
Yes, we said, what's your favorite movie?
Not like the greatest American film ever made or anything.
But the best part...
You said that it was your favorite... I'm sorry. That person
yes.
said that it was their favorite movie.
In this theoretical situation.
That super anonymous person. Allegedly.
Oh my God.
Should we talk to book club? Because they voted. And
oh yeah, what's up with the book club?
We have an assignment now.
I missed that.
Oh, okay, yeah. It was agreed that, like, whatever got the most votes, and it's been, like, a week, and it's going to be another week now before people actually hear this. I can't remember which one it was, but they picked a Chuck Tingle book.
Oh, my God.
Really, I did see that was incredible.
Because they really... It's the only thing that's been nominated. They really want to hear us riff on having finished a Chuck Tingle book.
All right. Well, they're, like, 2,000 words.
I right, yeah. Like, you like brought Chuck Tingle to our attention, Sean,
right?
And, like, now he's... Everywhere.
Right?
Like,
well, the sidecast guys were talking about it.
Stories pop up about him all the time, and, like, he shows up everywhere. Like, I never knew about this person until, what, 3-4 weeks ago?
Right.
And now he's everywhere. I can't get away from
Chuck Tingle. Like, you found an AMA from his son.
Yes, I did find an AMA from his
Who
son.
Said, and I'm not saying anything out
did
of,
you
know.
Did you see that last night, Josh?
His son did an AMA on Reddit, and apparently Chuck Tingle is, like, serious, like, he knows that he's being kind of silly, but he's serious about the books, but also diagnosed schizophrenic.
Yeah.
And
I don't know if I believe this.
And autistic. And apparently
autistic, yeah.
Well, he's gotta be artistic to write those books.
Writing the books, like, is the best thing that's happened to him.
That's cool.
Since he was diagnosed.
Yeah.
So
And his son edits them.
Right.
And it's like very focusing for Chuck Tingle, apparently, and, like, he loves, like, dealing with this.
I don't know about this.
Well, that's, to be fair, in, like, every other question in that AMA was, like, if this is in fact serious, which I am not even sure that it is, right, like, right. No one is really sure what's true and what's not. Although, I will say, if it's not true, some of the answers I read through a good portion of
they've gone to a great AMA, deal like, of trouble.
He to make it seem very authentic.
Yeah,
so like, they did that with the moon land.
These two things are definitely on par. Comparable. With one another. Yeah.
Slammed in the butt by Neil Armstrong's fake story.
There's definitely a moon landing Chuck Tingle book.
There's gotta be.
I can pretty much 100%.
Yeah, I think they...
A schizophrenic is not talking about the moon landing. Get out of here.
I'm pretty sure they want us to read the existential. What was the one?
Slammed in the butt by my existential dread that I might be
a character in a Chuck Tingle novel. I think that's the one they want us to read.
Getting meta right away. All right.
So we've got homework. All right. Okay.
How do we get that book?
Well, we'll get it. We'll figure it out. It's probably at the library.
excuse me. Do you have Slammed in the Butt by my existential?
You have to ask like the oldest, frailest librarian.
I have the ISBN. If that helps.
Does maybe like the Lower Bucks Library have this? Or
where's
what?
Your Chuck Tingle section?
Can you transfer it to this library? I'll fill something out.
Do you have it on the microfilm?
Microfiche.
You have it on that? They're real short.
Mimeographs of it.
Mimeographs.
All right, let's take a break. We're going long already. We'll be right back. Still Sean.
I'm still the host, Josh.
You've always been a host.
I'm the host. There's no lead host. First
King
chair host.
Host. Dictator host.
That would, I mean, if anybody, that's me, because I'm the only one that's been on every episode.
Oh, here we go. This isn't a meritocracy. This is a arm wrestling. That's how we decide this.
Some mutiny? Am I being mutant? No, I don't like arm wrestling.
I don't either. I hate it.
So you do admit that there is a leader.
No, I said if. I said if.
Rewind it.
You said, this is a mutiny.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do pay the hosting fees.
Oh, he's right. You're the leader.
Also, you guys can help out with that anytime you want. Zane, what are we talking about?
All right. We are talking about, strangely enough, a topic that Sean suggested.
Oh, so it's going to be good. Because he's the leader. All hail the leader.
No, she's saying it like that because I suggested the topic, and then earlier in the week I was like, hey, what are we talking about? And she was like, you're an idiot.
That's actually not what I was getting at. But also, that did happen.
That did happen.
What were you getting at then?
That, like, coincidentally, after you've been declared the leader.
It's a segue. She was segue.
Oh, okay. All right. I'm so used to tangents.
And man, it worked so well.
Nailed it.
Too
anyway,
good.
Countersunk it first swing.
Today we're talking about protagonists that you hate.
Yeah.
All right.
Sort of as a follow-up to our villain discussion last week.
Yeah.
Episode 62.
I have a lot of trouble with this.
Did you?
I had trouble coming up with a lot of examples.
I have one.
I also have one.
Perfect.
Me too.
The one I hate like more than any other.
No, mine's perfect.
You wanna
I have
go,
two.
You want to go first? You go first, Josh.
No, you go first.
No,
arm wrestle you.
Zane, go ahead.
Why do I have to go first?
Holden Caulfield.
Oh, I knew you were going to
say
that.
That wasn't
How did you know I was going to say that?
Because that's what everyone says.
Who's
everyone?
First of all, you're calling me bougie at this point.
Bougie.
Maybe you're just a phony.
See, there we go.
Holy shit, this is a mutiny.
No, it's the Holden Caulfield thing. She's doing a reference.
Oh, I never read it.
It's just, you know, maybe it's not so much that I hate Holden Caulfield. It's just like it's the Jaws effect.
Uh-huh.
Everybody talks about it like it's the greatest novel ever written.
Right.
About
so you
anyone.
No longer like you can't read it with a fresh.
Yeah.
I never could. Like right. by the time I got around to reading it, I was told that it was like the novel of coming of age in a society that you know you can't understand anymore
right,
and has
right.
no place for you. And I read it and I was like, all right, like,
yeah.
Like yeah, I think it had been very blunted by the time I got to it. Not like. Cypress Hill.
Well,
but like, like dulled.
I gotcha.
We appreciate the clarification.
Okay. I was thinking Cypress Hill. Oh, okay, not Cypress Hill. Okay.
No, 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 no. The other one. The other blunted. Sorry.
Yeah, I never read it, and it always seemed like a book to me that was super overhyped.
He's such a brat.
What, I don't know what he did. What, explain it to me. Explain the book to
little
me.
Boy cuts school, goes to the city, talks to a hooker.
Yeah.
The end.
Okay. And then why was this book, like, banned?
Because it was, because, well, because he curses.
Oh,
and
right.
It was
that's
released
bad.
In
well,
a time.
Well, and also he, like, he skips school
right.
And
oh, it was like
talks
the, yeah.
To a lady of the evening and shit. Like, if you think
a
about...
lady of the evening and shit. She won't say hooker.
He converses with a lady
I'll
of
say
the
hooker.
Evening.
Of ill repute.
But also, motherfucker, skips school.
That sounds like exactly how I talk. I'm not, that's not even a joke. but I think, for me, when I read that book, it was like, I wish I could have read this when it was released. Because
yes.
Then
yeah.
I,
yes.
I would have understood the shock value, and I think...
What year did it come out?
19... I'm going to say 54.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
I'm going to look it up while you guys keep talking.
I think it might have been earlier than that.
You think so?
I think maybe
I think
it was
in the
also.
40s or... Yeah, I think,
I'm
in the
almost
40s.
Certain it was in the 50s. Okay.
I'm going to say 40.
Go ahead, keep talking. I'm looking it up.
But I think, like, it would have... It wouldn't have felt...
1951.
Split all right, split the difference.
We're both right.
Everyone's right.
Everybody gets a trophy.
I think
thanks,
in
Obama.
1951, it would have felt fresh and controversial
yeah.
And
yeah.
Like thought-provoking.
How about what if it was in 1949? Can you imagine?
We weren't there yet. We're too afraid of
oh,
the Kremlin.
She just rolled her eyes at me, man.
That's. I didn't even notice it because it wasn't at me this time. When Zane rolls her eyes, you got to put a mirror up because if you look right into it, you turn into stone.
If that was true, neither of you would
that's
be
true.
Here.
That's true. That's true. But stone like a statue, not like Cypress
not like Cypress Hill. Okay. That's. I was confused again. I was like, oh my God.
Confused
like,
by your own statement.
Yeah, I was like, what am I saying? Is this a Cypress Hill thing?
But no, I agree with you. I agree with you. Like, I'm reading along going, this, I'm not getting into this, and I feel like it's because I've actually read a lot more controversial things.
Yeah.
You've read a lot more controversial things, and honestly, you've probably done a lot more controversial things in your life.
I don't think I've ever talked to a hooker.
I would say that I haven't actively known
okay,
that
enough.
I talked to a
fair
hooker.
Because I've been to Las Vegas.
But I'm sure at some point I've talked to a hooker. Like, somebody I've talked to probably was a hooker.
Okay.
I think, when did, what age were you when you read Catcher in the Rye?
I want to say I was probably either a senior in high school or a freshman in college.
See, I think part of the issue with something like that is, I think you maybe read it too late.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You really have to be, like, 12 or 13 when you
that's
read Catcher in the
point.
Rye, because
yeah.
Then you're like, oh, yeah, man, life is shitty, and it's, like, tough, and I want to skip school,
right.
And
I
know things. I
think things,
is
what you would
like,
say if you were 12 or 13.
I wouldn't.
Life is poopy.
I was fucking...
What?
I was fucking hookers when I was 12.
No, not knowingly.
Not knowingly, yeah. Not knowingly. I can't arrest you if you say you don't know. I didn't know! They were cones.
They were cones. I mean, I think it's possible to be 12 or 13 and still be pissed off by Holden Caulfield, but he might seem more like revelatory.
He might be more of a
when you're younger
yeah.
Than when you're like 18.
All I'm saying
yeah.
Is,
yeah.
I hate him, and Zane knew it.
Yeah,
I did know it. I knew someone would bring it up.
I never.
And
I always,
had to be the guy who reads.
Fair enough. I would have guessed that at some point Josh read.
I never
Catcher
read it.
The Rye, like, in school.
I never read it.
I kind of didn't see that.
It was one of those books I was always like, I'll get around to it. I'm the Holden Caulfield of my story.
That's the thing. Every, like, adolescent boy is the Holden
right.
Caulfield of his story. But
speaking of adolescent boys, Tom Sawyer. Fuck Tom Sawyer.
The character?
Like, not the song.
I don't mean...
The song is great. The character.
Like, you just... You don't... That was one of your ones on your list?
Look, and this goes in with your Holden Caulfield thing. I was thinking about it, and I was like, man, I hated reading Huckleberry Finn and Tom Sawyer. Huckleberry Finn was a little better because he kind of goes on, like, an adventure, and that's a little more fun. And
yeah.
And so does Tom Sawyer.
Tom Sawyer fakes his own death, dude.
Yeah. See, here's the thing. I'm cooler than Tom Sawyer. And when I read Tom Sawyer, I was like, I'm cooler than this motherfucker. Maybe I don't like him because I see myself in him. Fuck.
We should be charging you for this.
I know, this is like therapy, man. No, but he tricks the kids and like...
You were jealous of Tom Sawyer.
A little bit.
Josh wanted an Injun Joe friend. That's the character's name.
This is a family show.
Is it? Yeah. It's what? What families listen to this show? The Griswolds? Vacation, bro.
Yeah, no, I know.
All right.
What else does he do in that book? He goes and looks for gold, right?
I read it in like 6th or 7th.
I mean, it's
grade.
Been. I've read it when I was.
I don't like, remember having strong feelings about it one way or the other.
I didn't like it. I just I think because he's just, I don't know, maybe it's because he like,
he is kind of a brat.
He's a brat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Huck Finn's his friend, but Huck Finn has like a tremendously way more shitty life. And I know that this is written in a time where like they were just homeless poor children and they rode on riverboats.
See, to me, Huck was always like the slightly more interesting character. Yeah. It was always like, he's like, when he shows up, you're like, no, I want to spend time with Huck.
Yeah.
Like, not, like, I prefer Huck over Tom.
Yeah, Tom Sawyer is, like, Han Solo, and Huck Finn is, like, Boba Fett. He doesn't say much, but you want to fuck Boba Fett. Hang out with him.
A weird analogy, because I feel like most people want to hang out with Han Solo.
I'm sure they think that.
I want to hang out with Han Solo.
Yeah, fuck you.
Wow.
Whoa.
Damn.
I could hang. I'm cool.
Josh is working through some shit this week.
Yeah, he really is.
Same. Who was on your list?
Katniss Everdeen.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You hate Katniss.
I fucking hate Katniss Everdeen. She is so obnoxious.
She sucks.
I like
she sucks.
Can't even with that character. I cannot.
Did you really just drop a can't even?
Yes.
Wow.
I cannot with her. Oh my god, she's awful. She might as well not be there.
Yeah,
she might as well just not be there.
She kills the president.
Whoa.
Because he is literally like tied up and placed before her. Yeah. She doesn't like infiltrate and actually like get to kill the president.
She wins the Hunger Games.
The thing that she does, twice. She does one thing in that book, and it's at the end, and she gets all the credit for it. She's the savior. She's Lady Liberty, right? She ends the cycle, right? Like, she kills the president and kills Dum-Dum. What's her name?
Yeah, the other.
Dollar Bill? What's her fucking name?
What?
It's like Coin. President Coin. Dollar Bill. That's a villain from The Watchmen. That's a Watchmen villain.
She kills Wu-Tang Clan Cream and, Cypress Hill.
But she gets all this credit for this one thing, and like, granted, like, I guess that's like important, but like you say, she just gets placed in these positions.
Well, and she doesn't, like, she's clearly supposed to be your hero and your protagonist, except that she has no idea what she wants.
Yeah.
She has no clue what her agenda should be. Like, mm-hmm. She's like,
no plan.
We need change. We need to affect change. And then she starts to affect change and she's like, no, this sucks. I want everything to go back to the way that it was
before.
I want to
go back to district whatever.
Like, she's like, no one's good enough. And I want to be the leader of a revolution, except I'm totally worthless. I'm a 15-year-old with some hunting skills.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, she's so obnoxious. The only parts of the story that she, like, moves forward are, like, the love interest aspects, which are basically, like, shoehorned in there anyway.
Yeah. Well, they're sort of, they're not very well thought out in the books or in the movies. I never read the books. But in the movies, it's always because she's in the place with the person she's with, right? So it kind of gets you get the feeling like, oh, well, she's here now with Hutchinson.
Yeah, PETA.
And, yeah, what up, PETA?
Oh, yeah, PETA.
And so, of course, like, of course she's gonna, like, sleep with him, you know? And it's like, there's never a, like, conflict in her, I mean, maybe in the books there is, but it never seems like there's a conflict of, like, what do I want,
Honestly, like, the love interest stuff is the only part of the book that, like, I'll give that to Katniss, because she's young, and, like, she doesn't actually know what she wants, and there's a lot of other stuff going on, like, fine, whatever, like, you don't have to choose sides,
sure,
it's not
sure,
a thing,
sure.
Like, and she's pretty adamant, like, I don't really want to choose a boy,
sure.
You know, and it's like, great,
that's
fine, like, that's,
sure.
Like, that part of the book, totally fine,
right.
But, like, when she
starts,
it's the
revolutionary
stuff,
yeah.
And even at the end of the first book, and you basically find out, like, yes, she won the Hunger Games, because the whole thing has been constructed
right.
to make her the victor.
Right.
Like, there's this whole storyline, there's all these other really interesting characters, theoretically, working behind the scenes.
Theoretically.
To make Katniss, like, this person. Yeah. And she's just, like, a bumbling fucking idiot who can shoot a bow and arrow. And I'm supposed to think that she's, like, this great heroine? It's just, oh god, it bothers me.
It really
bothers me. Especially when she's touted as, like, this amazing, progressive female protagonist. Well, I think that's more
the
problem.
Like, the novel as it stands, like, she, you know, it's just
a crappy YA post-apocalyptic novel.
Right, I don't want to say, like, every YA book has that kind of character in it, but what happened is, like you said, Zane, it's been blown up to be...
Yeah.
She's the ideal of
right.
of independent femininity.
She's who young girls should be looking up right. to.
She's who maybe she's somebody who young girls should be looking up to, but I don't think she's somebody who women should be looking up to. When you're a woman,
not even that. Like,
no, more to the point, she's
it doesn't matter. Like, we get really focused on stuff like that as a society. Like. Yeah. Young girls, they need someone to look up to. Right. Like, fucking, no, they don't, because we don't have that conversation about boys. Like, actually, we're not like, young boys need a better protagonist. Like, no, they
maybe
fucking don't.
Maybe with sports
they
it can, happens a little bit.
But they, like, young girls are capable of reading a book and being like, yo, that was shitty. Yeah.
I actually think that Katniss like, is the ideal that young boys are told should
yeah,
look for
yeah,
in a
young,
right. young
girl.
Yeah.
That's
right? Like,
point.
That,
that's
like,
a, yeah.
she's the archetypical yeah. strong, independent right. female. To boys, you know
but
what
I just,
mean?
But I think, like, even more than that, just in terms of, like, her effectiveness as a character, like, she's a really poorly written character. Like, why
she's
would
really
you
boring.
Even write these stories about a character that has, like, nothing to do with the stories?
Right.
She might as well not be there. All of the other characters are way more interesting. Every time that PETA shows up, you're like, well, let's get to know him.
Not me. I can't stand the character of PETA.
I can't stand any of those characters except for the Axe Lady.
Yeah.
And the Trident Man.
Finnick.
He's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
and President
and
Dollar Sign.
But like,
President
like,
Andrew Jackson.
There's a lot of other potentially interesting characters. There's a lot of other characters who actually work to move the storyline forward, and Katniss is not any of those things.
The world is like way theoretically, to use your word, Zane, better than it is in the books. Like that world is so ridiculous. Like
yeah.
they have like booby traps in the city and stuff, and you're like, what the fuck is this? Like, what the fuck is this?
Definitely. the parties, like, the rich people go to in the first movie, it's this is so...
It's so...
Clearly YA...
Well, but, like, any of the interesting stuff about the first novel just got completely demolished by the second and third. The third novel is, like, a complete shit show.
Yeah.
And pretty much everyone recognizes that. Like, it's a shit show. It got wrapped up really weirdly quickly.
Yep.
And she's just like, I don't know, then things get crazier, and then we win.
Yeah. Right.
Like, it's just...
Everyone's
it's,
free now!
All the things that
it's
were
like she
kind
knew,
of intriguing
she
about
the
first
She knew what
the
ending
one.
Was going to be, but had no idea
how
to
get there,
so she just got there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the second book was like, I guess we'll write another Hunger Games.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, like, no one knew.
We've got to put her back in the arena,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do it again. They went it the same way.
Yeah. Josh, who was your second one? You said you had two. I got another
Scrooge.
One, too. Ebenezer.
Yeah. Fuck that guy. That guy was a fuck his whole life.
He's right. I
and
absolutely
then,
agree with
and
that.
And then all of a sudden.
I didn't think of it until you said it, but you're absolutely right.
And then all of a sudden,
fact,
oh,
most
Christmas
Dickens,
is great.
Most Dickens heroes, I think.
Yeah,
I,
they're assholes.
I was going to say Pip.
Yeah, okay.
From Great Expectations. Yeah. Because he's such a mealy little shit who lets everybody in the whole book walk all over him from childhood through adulthood. But Scrooge, go ahead, keep going.
No, he's how old is he in that book? Like 70, 60, something?
I mean, he's old in Victorian England, so I'm going to guess he's like late 30s.
Maybe. He's 17 years old, which is 15 years past life expectancy. So he's lived his whole life just a complete fuck.
Yep.
Like, he's hated.
Yeah. He's and cruel. He's awful. There's nothing redeemable. I don't know why I care about his redemption at the end of the story if there's nothing redeemable in the beginning.
You're not going to make up for 78 years of being a total shitbag by being like, I love Christmas.
Right.
Yeah, no shit, asshole. Everyone fucking loves Christmas.
Especially when you're faced with the prospect of, like, your own tomb.
Right.
Like, that's not... That's not a reason that you've gotten okay.
You just got scared straight, motherfucker.
It's the original scared straight.
A ghost comes up and is like, yo, dog, you don't change your ways.
First day in here, you and me.
Put your hand in my pocket, Scrooge. Fucking Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yo, Frodo Baggins in the third book.
The third book? Yes. Yes.
That's what Dan said when I was like, who are more obnoxious characters? And Dan was like, Frodo. And I was like, I don't remember him being obnoxious in the books.
Part of it is because I loved as a kid, The Hobbit. Like, mm-hmm. I read The Hobbit probably 15 times before I even picked up The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
And Bilbo, for me, was, like, my favorite
right.
character. Yeah. Like, Bilbo and Gandalf, you know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
And then Frodo comes along, and it's like, oh, the story's going to be about his nephew. All right, sure, yep. Let's go with that.
Sure.
And it's cool and it's fine. And then as soon as they get, like, as soon as Sam and Frodo get into Mordor, like, Frodo becomes, like Elijah Wood does a great job of it in the movies because he's a whiny,
yeah.
like,
yeah.
anchor
yeah.
around Sam's
literally
neck.
In the movie, he's like, I can't go any farther.
Right? Yeah.
yeah.
Well, then I'll take it for you. I can't carry the ring,
there it is.
But I can carry you!
No, that's Game of Thrones. No, that's Star Wars.
Oh shit, you're right.
But yeah, like not to the point that I end up thinking like, God, I hope Frodo ends up in the fire.
Yeah.
But like, he's set up so beautifully in the beginning, and I know, like, I get it. It has to happen.
Right. It's perfect, but it's also so perfect.
It serves the story perfectly. Exactly. It's
that
so
you like hate him.
Yeah. It's like the character. Like the character. He's not the hero, but the right. character Percy in The Green Mile.
Mm-hmm.
Who's the prison guard in the movie? Did you ever see the movie?
You
never seen The Green Mile?
No.
It's a pretty good movie. Have you seen
yes,
or read it?
I have.
He's the prison guard
yeah.
who doesn't wet the sponge.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And like, you know, he's the villain kind of.
Right.
But it's like that same thing where it's like he's done, it's drawn so perfectly, and I hate him so deeply
right.
that I can't really divorce myself of my hatred of the character because it serves the story so well.
Right.
It's like, no, I just hate him.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Umbridge. Dolores Umbridge.
Dolores Umbridge. Well, that's... I was actually thinking
first three novel Harry Potter. Harry in, for, in the
Harry
first three
in
novels.
The first three?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
I would actually say Harry in, like, the fifth and sixth.
Yeah, in five. Ugh. He's pretty terrible.
The Ugh. First novel, he's awful.
But part of that, I
awful.
Think... I don't think so. But
of
I think...
Don't.
I know. But some of that, like... I always felt like... because for me, I thought Harry got obnoxious in the fifth and sixth. Some of that is, like... He's going through puberty.
Right.
right.
Like, he does become a little shit.
Yeah.
A little whiny baby who gets, like, really preoccupied with things that he shouldn't get preoccupied with.
Yeah, like, motherfucker,
with.
Like, the end of the world's coming. You maybe
yeah.
want to...
That's how I feel about the first one. Like, you've been turned on to the fact that you are the Jesus of a world of magic that you didn't know existed, and you're worried about getting your homework done.
I think
yeah,
that's perfect.
Yeah, but
he's 11. Yeah, I think it's perfect.
Fuck. Holden Caulfield's 13, and I hate him.
No, I just mean that, like, it, the first book, he's like,
I don't have to know a person's backstory to hate them.
Oh my god!
She
oh
put her pen
my
down.
God, she's done. She's broke.
I'm sorry, Zane.
I think
me too.
I think Harry Potter is the reason I like it so much because it starts out like this, like, man, this is gonna be such a fun romp.
There, that's exactly it. And then as he matures,
yeah. then it's like,
oh
wait,
the story gets more and more serious,
yeah.
and suddenly it's like, oh. God, like,
this is terrible.
Voldemort's back, and that's like a
yeah.
really big deal. And like, kids are dying in the school, and like, with each book, things get progressively darker and more serious mm. as he grows up. And so that's what I always liked about, like, because when I read the fifth book, especially, I remember it was like, Harry, like, you are fucking,
yeah.
you are obnoxious.
Order of the Phoenix.
Order of the
yeah.
Phoenix.
Yeah, okay.
And
that's
he's
when he
like
wants to bang Cho.
Snogging
and stuff.
Everyone,
yeah.
and like,
that means kissing in British.
Snogging?
Yeah.
I mean, I know, it's just...
I don't know.
They talk about it a lot.
Snogging a lady of ill repute. Shit heel.
God damn. God damn. USS Hood!
Suck my dick.
HMS Hood. USS Hood.
Bodie McBoatface.
Bodie McBoat. Oh, God.
You keep slamming the table. Though.
Sorry, we're at a different table. I'm not used to this.
But I like it. I think he's written purposefully that way. Like, I think you are supposed to be frustrated with him. And that was, I struggled with that in thinking of characters to talk about tonight because I kept thinking of really obnoxious characters, and it was like, but they're...
But they're supposed to
intended,
be.
Intended, yeah. Like, to make me feel a certain way, and that they do a successful job at that. Like, I feel like that's not the point of tonight's topic. Like, I was trying to think of characters that are supposed to be our protagonists.
Well, they're this very subjective
the
topic.
The girl on the train.
From
what? From the girl on the train. I can't remember her name. No, the book, The Girl on the Train.
Never read it.
I surprise. Gave up on it because I hated the lead character. She was it's the biggest unreliable narrator story.
Right.
It's actually going to be made. The preview just came out for the first movie. The first movie. They're making it into a quintilogy.
Maybe.
Probs.
Yeah. Right.
X-Men.
But she's this like blackout. It's all told through her lens, and she's this like blackout drunk, like. Shits and pisses herself, and it's like, I don't really give a fuck what happens
in
this story.
A good time. What's their phone number? The train?
She's a British, so it's probably like London 5-4-16-4 Bobby 5-2-9 Westminster.
Periwinkle Blue.
Sounds like a call in Chip Kelly's office. Sorry.
I was thinking about characters like that book that I gave up on. Last summer.
The Bible? Zane?
Oh, everyone from that book sucks.
I can't remember what it was called, but it was the one that was like the guy was like talking about himself. Like he was the narrator.
Oh, I remember the one I remember what you're talking
about. I looked at my book and I couldn't find... I didn't even write it down. I actually might have it here somewhere.
Okay.
Good luck. There's 400 books in this house.
Not a lot of books.
There's 400 houses in this book.
But, like, characters like that, that you get the impression that they're supposed to be, like, autobiographical.
Yeah.
Right.
You know?
I remember
it's
exactly
like,
what you're talking about from
yeah.
the show, but I can't remember the title. Yeah.
And so
yeah.
I was thinking about, like, a lot of, like, Henry Miller books where he, like, writes himself as this, like, gift to women. And
yep.
he's, like, the most amazing, enigmatic,
yep.
like, chauvinistic asshole in the world.
Ready
and you're supposed
Ready
to think
Player
that
One.
He's, like,
oh, Ernest Hemingway?
Well, yes, but like shit like that.
Ready Player
like,
One. Ready Player One. Yeah. That didn't even come to me.
Yeah. I didn't want to bring it up again.
These characters that like you know are just like an iteration of the author himself
yeah.
or herself, and
like a funhouse mirror that turns you into it's the
yeah, and
the,
it, there's the, just it's so masturbatory,
yes,
you know, and
it's
like ugh.
Hey, my mentor told me to write what I know,
and I know how fucking great I am.
Exactly. Sincerely, Ernest Klein.
Ernest Hemingway Klein.
That's the foreword to his next book.
Dude,
right?
It probably is.
Yeah.
Except a kid goes back in time, and it's totally not Ernest Klein. But he goes back, and it's the 20s, but they have video games! Beep, 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 beep! And he's the best at them. Also, a suicide girl is there, and she's like, oh my god, your dick is so suckable.
And he's like, I know, because my pants fit me really well, because I wear tight jeans in the 20s. And then he turns on Ace of Base, I Saw the Sign.
No! He turned. It has to be before that. It's got to be something super 1980s. St. Elmo's Fire theme.
And it comes in right on the bridge.
Burning in me. I can feel it burning.
God. And then they do it.
And then they
touch. Two times. The end.
The second time was better because the second time's always better
you
after
guys
your
should
first.
Go straight for him.
To be directed by Inuratu. Isn't that his name, the guy that did The Revenant?
Yeah.
That's all right. I think we could keep going.
On
I feel like we could
note,
keep going.
Yeah, there was a lot more than I thought.
Like, I didn't mention Chuck Palahniuk, because Chuck Palahniuk writes a lot of characters that you want to hate, like you have to hate.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
it's that same thing of, like, he sets them up to be hated.
Yeah,
because,
which I feel like makes them ineligible.
Right, that's why
yeah.
I didn't bring it up earlier.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, cool. So, take a break. We'll be back. We got some stuff to talk about. Episode 63 of Cracking the Spine. Sean.
Zane.
And still the number one host, Josh.
All right, number one.
Number one stunner.
What did we miss? Who do you hate, guys? What protagonists are the ones that drive you up a wall? Other than Josh.
Tell
That's
us.
The lead host. No?
I hate myself, so why shouldn't they? I got double eye rolled.
Here we go. All right.
You holding Caulfield? You holding Caulfield? That's the only thing I know him from.
What is that? What is that? Is that Dazed and Confused?
Yeah. Okay. Dazed and Confused, yeah.
Yeah, all right. So, there's one more thing I wanted to talk about this week. Hopefully. We'll probably spin off on it.
There actually are a couple of things.
There's a couple other things we're going to get to before we finish out here. But there's one thing I wanted to talk about.
I didn't bring anything to this table.
That's okay. Zane brought delicious snacks. the Hugo Award nominees were announced this week.
Yes.
And the Hugos are basically the Oscars or the Emmys of science fiction writing.
Okay.
And the way that the nominating...
Named after Hugo Weaving.
Yes, I believe so.
Who was in The Matrix.
Red Skull.
Red Skull.
Hail Hydra.
Hail Hydra.
I believe... The way you can nominate something... I'm a little unclear on it. It's like if you... All you have to do is register, like, with the... organization,
okay,
and you're allowed to put a nomination forward for an author.
I thought it was like if you attended, like if you purchased tickets to Worldcon.
That's it. If you go to Worldcon, thank you. I knew it was something very like
something,
flimsy.
Yeah, it's weird.
Okay.
So there's been this controversy. I know it was happening last year. It may be older even than that. But there's this group that calls themselves. I feel like secondhand embarrassed saying it. They call themselves
this is gonna be good.
Sad Puppies.
Okay.
And there's also a group called Rabid Puppies.
All right.
They basically have the same agenda, but one is obviously the rabid ones are more militant about it.
Hawks and doves, got it.
It's the idea is they think that too many left-wing leaning novelists
right
get nominations while the more conservative
so they're Nazis.
They're it's Gamergate. It's basically a
yeah.
bunch of it's
that's exactly
it's,
what it
it's
is.
It's the book version
that's exactly
of Gamergate.
What it is.
It's a bunch of white boys who think that they're being put into a minority category.
Right. Think that they're being persecuted
exactly
in science fiction and fantasy
that's
novels.
That's the most ironic
pick
thing.
Something else to get upset about.
Yeah. Right.
There's plenty of things.
It's
there's
anyway.
So many things.
So the reason I'm bringing it up, I mean, it's book worthy, so it's something I think we can talk about.
Yeah.
But the reason I'm bringing it up,
which
this
is a
week,
prerequisite on this show.
So like a couple of the people like that, the Sad Puppies are standing behind is like Neil Gaiman, which is like duh, and
yeah.
Neil Stevenson's Seven Eves, which is like duh,
extra
yeah.
duh,
probably gonna win it anyway.
Yeah.
Like that's a big book. It's
yeah.
not like you guys found some kind of
right.
It's fucking Neil Stevenson.
Right. It's not like you discovered this unheard of, you know, passed over. He's a New York Times bestselling author.
Right.
But one of the authors that the Sad Puppies got nominated this year is any guesses?
Chuck Tingle. Holy
ladies and gentlemen,
shit.
Hugo Award nominee, Chuck
I would really
Tingle.
Like to know how that somehow, like, pushes forward a right wing.
It's a protest. It's more,
is that
it's,
what
it's
it
a
is?
Backlash.
It's like a,
it's,
okay.
It's, if you give, it's like the comment section. If you give me the ability to say anything, I'm going to say the stupidest thing possible.
Yeah.
And if you give me the ability to nominate an author, I'm going to nominate it's somebody just... that dilutes the pool for everybody
right,
else.
Right, right.
It's just such a... It's the whole thing is so stupid from
yeah.
top to bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It is so stupid. And to take something like this, which is like essentially just four authors.
Yes.
And
yeah, nobody's like, did you watch the Hugos last night?
Well, and even that, like.
Kim
like,
Stanley Robinson, who are you wearing?
Very frequently, like even with something like the Oscars, like we all know what wins awards at the Oscars,
right.
And you know full well going in that, like, your favorite action movie is not going to be awarded
Star Wars
an Oscar.
Or comedy.
Star Wars is never going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
Comedies don't
like,
win. Yeah.
Like, you know that they're a thing, and, like, I'm willing to sort of extend that same kind of courtesy. Like, you're your own self-formed thing to
right.
the Hugos. Like, the Hugos reward who they want to reward, and... You know, it's like this perfectly fine system that just keeps trucking along because at the end of the day, it's just an award system.
Right,
that
right. It's this isn't
nothing.
A democracy. This isn't
that's
the fucking,
thing.
Like,
no, I have to play too.
Yeah.
I want to play
it
too.
It doesn't work that way.
It's so like the whole thing is so pathetic. Like you, it has nothing to do with you.
For really good insight on it, really good commentary on it, you should read or follow on Twitter the author John Scalzi. Who's one of my favorite sci-fi authors?
Mm-hmm.
He has really good insight on it. He is either now or was formerly the president of the Hugos,
okay.
who oversaw the shitstorm that it became last year.
Yeah.
So it's a story that came up. We could have talked about it last year, but it was like, you know, I don't really want to give Gamergate a voice.
Yeah.
Right. You don't want to.
But when Chuck Tingle's name showed up in an article today, it was like Zane was saying before. Like,
he's just everywhere.
He's growing up,
all
man.
Of a sudden.
He's everywhere. Everyone's talking about him. I feel like I just read, like, it was like a New Yorker, like a New York Times piece on Chuck Tingle.
That's insane.
Like, why? Because, like, people are fascinated by his success, but, like, why all of a sudden? It's just weird.
Yeah.
It's like a weird
coincidence. Interesting. I don't know.
Zane, what was the other thing I wanted to talk about?
The other thing that you wanted to talk about was one of our faithful listeners who reaches out to us all the time.
Oh, yes. Thank you for reminding me.
Great suggestions for us and great feedback.
Space Butts!
Space Butts, Luke Gelheiser, posted on the Reddit either today or within the last few days. That he wrote a book.
Buy my book!
And I think it's about to be released. It's called A Gray Man. And he posted a link that you can buy it at the North Shire bookstore, North Shire.
Like in World of Warcraft? You guys.
Yes.
Nobody else here gets that reference, but yeah.
Definitely that thing that you are thinking of. And I have the description, and it sounds like something that I would read.
Okay.
It says, the year is 1996 in a small New England town. Unbeknownst to the residents of this small town, a twisted psychopathic murderer lives among them. Phil Jones was beaten by his father from a young age, and his unhealthy upbringing has left him with a twisted mind that needs to be satisfied with the spilling of blood and consumption of his victim's flesh.
Damn.
What the fuck?
He's gotten by so far just killing neighborhood pets, but when a new family with two young boys moves into town in the early fall, he hatches the most sinister plan he's thought up yet.
Jackpot.
Before the year is out, he aims to kidnap the two little boys, butcher them alive, and eat them.
Jesus what the Christ! Space Butts, what's going on, dude?
I would read the shit out of that book. I am absolutely.
I know. You know. I know why you would like that. You're thinking of Albert Fish, and you're into that. The guy. You like that guy, right? You're like, oh man, Albert Fish, you're so attractive.
That's your guy, dude. You're the Albert Fish fan.
I am definitely, I would not consider myself a fan.
I feel like we've had the conversations about
it. One of the two of you has an Albert Fish poster in your room, I'm just saying.
Insane.
And I've never been in Josh's room, so.
It's definitely Josh. I've been in Josh's room. As the only person at this table who's been in Josh's room.
But
yeah, I can say.
I'm almost certain that this episode is, he said it was going on sale on a Thursday, and I'm almost certain that this episode is going up. On the date that the book
comes out?
Is published. Yeah,
oh, cool.
So
cool.
If you're a listener, you know,
check it out.
Yeah, check it out. Yeah. Seriously.
I'm definitely going to buy a copy because he's been so good to the
it
show.
It comes out, it'll come out the day that this gets posted. Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
Thursday, May 5th.
Okay, cool. So if you're listening to the show or on the 5th or after, go to NorthShireBooks.com and check out Luke's book. And
NorthShire.com.
That's what I said. Oh, not NorthShire Books, just NorthShire. Yeah. My bad. NorthShire.com. We'll throw a link up on the show too, and on the Reddit. So, congratulations, dude! It's a big deal to get a book published.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's a really cool thing.
And thanks for letting us know about it.
And is that it?
That's it.
Okay, cool.
I wanted to talk about stuff.
What?
Too bad.
Dude, we're pushing 50 minutes here, man. So
okay.
It's our longest show ever.
I guess we'll just wait till next time.
All right, save it.
Okay, bye.
Buy my book. Buy my book. Buy my book. Transmission.
The space show ever.